Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are Tanya Bubb, founder of the 48th Avenue Productions, a web development company, and Jeffrey Bubb, distinguished university professor in the Department of Philosophy and the Institute for Physical Science and Technology at the University of Maryland. And all of us are going to be talking about their new book, Totally Random, Why Nobody Understands Quantum Mechanics. Tanya and Jeffrey,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
This book knocked my socks off. First of all, as soon as I saw that somebody was going to try to deal with some of the thorniest, most hard to conceive of problems of quantum theory in a comic, I thought you were both mad.
And perhaps we are.
But talk to me about doing that. I mean, this is, you're talking about some of the most abstract things for people to try to figure out. And you're going to try to represent it visually. That sort of seems like you're just lining up to get your rear end kicked.
Well, we wanted to do a book with no math, obviously, because it had to be funny as well. And so the basic idea was to use a feature of quantum mechanics, a really weird feature of quantum mechanics, but soup it up a bit to what's called a super quantum correlation. And the first part of the book is all about what's so weird about this correlation. And once you understand what's so weird about that, you also understand what's weird about quantum correlations, that is actual real-world correlations between electrons or photons. So that was the basic idea. And, you know, we used coins because one can imagine quite easily and one can illustrate how playing with coins, tossing coins, you know, you get the feel for what you're doing, and we have hands in the book which illustrate the coin tossing, and that's the equivalent of doing an experiment.
There, and actually, you have coins. You start out with coins, but you go to coins.
Coins.
Become coins. Q-U-O-I-N-S.
That's right.
Go ahead, Tanya.
Oh, no, so the coins and that whole kind of play is to show you that there's something sort of special here. They're coins, as in the objects you hold in your hand, so that what we really want is we wanted the reader to experience what was so weird about quantum mechanics. And so, and quantum mechanics has this reputation of being impossible to understand, but really the reason it's hard to understand isn't because it's so complicated. It's because it's quite literally inexplicable. So people think, wow, the math must be so hard. That's not what Einstein and Schrodinger and all these brilliant guys, they had no problem with that. They simply could not explain the phenomena. And so what we want to do is we want the reader to have that experience of holding something in their hands, which is, in fact, inexplicable. So the coins are the device that we use, that we quite literally hand to the reader so that they can experience the sort of like flabbergastery of quantum mechanics with a very familiar object.
Now, who does the drawings in this?
Oh, Tanya is the illustrator.
Okay, you got to get kudos for that, because hats off for your representation of this, because this is first of all, there's a lot of black in this. There's a lot of black, which is really like
yes,
a black hole where the reader is definitely going to get sucked down, and it gets surreal towards the end. It gets absolutely sort of like you drop acid when you read the end of this book.
I wanted people to have that feeling, you know, like when you read the quotes from the greats of physics, you almost can't even believe that they said those things. So I feel like they went down the rabbit hole. And so what I really wanted the reader to feel like they were spiraling down the rabbit hole too. Again, to kind of make that experience like, what the heck is going on,
well,
right?
There's a very famous quote that you have in the book, and I forget which physicists or several of them said the equivalent of, if you think you understand quantum theory, you haven't really read quantum theory.
Oh, yeah, that's Bohr.
That's Bohr.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pick it up. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And, I mean, the subtitle of the book is Why Nobody Understands Quantum Mechanics, and that's from a quote by Feynman where he says, people used to say that only 12 people understood relativity, but in fact, I mean, that's just wrong, because once the theory came out, most physicists understood it right away. But then he adds, but nobody understands quantum mechanics. And, I mean, obviously, it doesn't mean that nobody understands the mathematics of the theory. He was involved in developing some of that and certainly understood all of that. But what he meant was nobody understands how nature does what it. We know what nature does, that's what the theory says, but nobody really understands in some deep sense how nature actually does what she does. That's the puzzling thing. And as Tanya was saying, with the coins, we wanted to give the reader that experience of really understanding what it is that we don't understand.
I once interviewed a theoretical physicist who basically just got down and said, you should just accept it and don't question it, which I think is the Copenhagen interpretation. Just don't even question it. That's the way it is, which I thought was a weird way to go about science, but that's okay.
It's not as a result of absence of struggle. And so, again, the book tries to take you through the thinking and the struggle and the incredible insanity where all of these sort of very serious guys ended up exploring in an attempt to explain the phenomena. So it says...
Oh my gosh, what happened? The Pauli effect.
The Pauli effect, something like that.
I got to ask you about the personification of the physicists in this, because I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein and all the rest of them, Everett, Schrödinger, Pauli, Heisenberg, they're not exactly in the comic because they're sort of ish.
Exactly.
Talk to me about ish.
In a way, what I kind of was shooting for was I wanted to give people almost an icon on which to hang the ideas.
Okay.
So not to really simplify, but just to sort of... So Einstein, for example, is a delivery truck driver. And because I wanted him... He's the one who was so insistent and kept bringing people's attention back to the problem that the quantum phenomena flew in the face of just common sense reasoning. So he kind of keeps on re-delivering this message like, hey, we can't ignore the fact that this flies in the face of these other aspects of physics and even of common sense. So, that's why he was cast like that. I guess probably the most sort of out there one is Bohr as a psychoanalyst. And again, he was the one who, as you had mentioned before, he wanted everyone simply sort of accept that there would be no explanation of the underlying phenomena. And
so he was one of the ones that started the Copenhagen interpretation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and he also played the role of a sort of father figure to people Pauli and Heisenberg and pretty much all these figures at the time. So, the message was, that... people should stop trying to picture reality, and so we kind of played on that, and we gave him the role of a psychotherapist because that's one aspect of what he was really.
Now it's Everett that I thought was the weirdest one, because you have him as sort of a carny shuckster.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, that's why I was curious to know if his son might be interested in reading the book.
I think he's pretty a very hip guy, as a matter of fact.
I think he'd
be fine with it. Yeah,
he's
actually host. I think he hosted a PBS special about his father.
Oh, well, it would be. I would love to send him a copy. Yeah. Well, I think Everett. He's present because his ideas are really amazing. And the extent to which he was willing to sort of explore possibilities to explain the phenomena was pretty impressive. So,
Whoa, not so fast, Tanya. Mm-hmm. Because his ideas led to the conception of the multiverse, mm-hmm. which is an idea that drives a lot of people crazy and around the bend. That mm-hmm. this is it? This is the thing that puts everything back together, is the idea of the multiverse?
Well, we do in his dialogue in the section with Everett. I mean, he comes across as this sort of corny huckster. That's the way he's introduced.
Yep.
But as the few pages in which he's in develop, I mean, he's actually... he's almost persuasive. He gets the characters to pretty much admit that, look, there's no other way out. You know, you've got to agree with him, and we just sort of leave it at that. So I think we actually sort of ambiguous in the comic about our attitude to all these characters.
Well, I wanted to ask both of you that. First of all, for the benefit of the audience, let's explain the multiverse concept.
Well, I mean, in the way in which it's introduced by Everett is that what's puzzling about quantum mechanics and is that it seems that you have to say that a particular quantum system, like an electron or a photon, is in two states at the same time. I'm using the word sort of state in a very general way here. But it's both this and that, which obviously is impossible because our whole notion of reality is, well, it's this way or that way. But quantum mechanics seems to imply that it's both. And so Everett's, and there are more than two things. I mean, you know, it's this and this and this and this and this at the same time. And Everett's solution is, well, look, the only way to understand that is that actually when you do an experiment or the equivalent of tossing the coins in our book, then the universe splits into one universe where something or other happens and another universe where something else happens, and it splits multiply. If there are two possibilities, then it splits that way. If there are three, then it splits to the three, and you split with it, so that you always only see or are aware of one of these possibilities, but there are all these other possibilities in this multiverse where other copies of you are experiencing the other possibilities. And he, in the comic, he actually, I think, makes that fairly convincing.
He does. He does. Now, the question I have for both of you, and be honest, and I want to start with you, Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
What's your gut reaction against with the multiverse idea?
Well, you know, my feeling is... Every argument I read, and as we read the original papers and we kind of really pored over them and argued over them, everyone I read was utterly convincing, you know, because all the views, these were brilliant guys, the arguments are incredible, you know, bulletproof. Yeah. And so as I read Einstein, I was sort of like, he's right, you know, yes, I agree. And then I would read Bohr and I'm like, wait, but he's right too, even though he's saying the opposite thing.
No.
And so is Everett. And so what we really wanted to do in the comic was not say this position or that position, but just give people a window into understanding the positions mm-hmm. via the coins.
That's right.
And I actually do remain pretty agnostic on what position I would take. You know, they're fascinating. It's fascinating to read about the reasoning and how they came to think what they did.
It
and
is,
really,
it
that
is.
Was the goal. You know, to you know, what did you think when you read it?
Wait a minute. Before you talk about me, I want to talk to you because you're the distinguished university professor in the Department of Philosophy and the Institute for Physical Science and Technology at the University of Maryland. What's your gut feeling? I'm not asking about what it really is. I'm just asking a personal question about, because the multiverse question, it's a big thing. It's a big pill to swallow.
Yes, well, you know, I have several friends who convinced about the correctness of that way of looking at things. My gut feeling has always been that it just doesn't make any sense. Now, let me say that.
Well, you know, and I want to say, I'm glad you say that. Just literally 3 weeks ago, I interviewed Sabine Hosenfelder.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
She's not so hot on that either. And her question is, you know, We're doing science where we've created a concept that is untestable. And that, what kind of physics is that? That we're doing these incredible ideas that we can't actually test as a scientific concept.
Well, I sort of agree with her on that, but it's a very clever idea. I mean, the people who've developed this are smart, and it's technically a very, very clever. I mean, just putting it as simply as I did, you don't see why it's so clever. It seems, well, that's sort of a silly solution. But to get it to work out properly, you have to do some pretty subtle things. For example, if you're talking about, the cat that's alive and dead at the same time, then you want to say something like, well, look, the universe splits, and so there's a live cat in one and a dead cat in the other. But you've got to get the probabilities right. So what if the particular situation that you've set up gives you a live cat one-third of the time and a dead cat two-thirds of the time. How do you get the one-thirds and the two-thirds? Well, obviously, they do get it. I mean, the Everettians, but the explanation gets very convoluted. And, it's not as simple as it seems. And when you look into the details, I find that I just can't accept them, but
And thank you for being honest. It's an idea. I think it would be great if it was true because it would solve problems. But I have to come back to that point of, are we coming up with concepts and then people are just getting grant money to deal with these concepts where we can't even begin to think of some kind of framework in which to test these ideas.
Well, I think the interesting thing is too that, sort of more recently, the developments have been more practically oriented, which is why in the book we sort of present the problem in the form of these coins, have the reader play with the coins, understand all of these sort of very philosophical, deep questions and the various solutions to them. But then the last part of the book goes into how can, let's say we accept that we're stuck with this bizarre feature of nature, how can it be exploited, for our purposes? And I think that question becomes, a really interesting one.
Yeah, so we do, in the last section of the book, we show how you can exploit this curious correlation that we've developed to do quantum cryptography and also quantum computation and quantum teleportation, which are the three big applications of quantum mechanics.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Tanya Bubb, founder of 48th Avenue Productions, a web development company, and Jeffrey Bubb, distinguished university professor in the Department of Philosophy and the Institute for Physical Science and Technology at the University of Maryland. And we're talking about their book. And you, after just hearing this conversation that just went on for the last 5 minutes, you understand how extraordinary this book is. It's a comic, and we're talking about their book, Totally Random, Why Nobody Understands Quantum Physics. And you really, what was amazing to me is how successful this book is. And even though it really, I think at the end, really goes down the rabbit hole, literally, it goes down the black hole rabbit hole. It gets incredibly wild, but it really will give the average reader a real sense of what the problems and the challenges are in quantum mechanics. And I'm amazed that you guys did this. Now, I have to ask you about setting out a comic like this. Did you storyboard everything? I mean, how did you exchange ideas and realize, we have to get this down, we have to get this down? How did that occur?
It was very, the process was very interactive because what we started with and what we ended up with were very different things. So often we would talk about the concepts, which came from Jeff, because it's really his area, his field, and I am a novice to this material. So it was fun. I mean, he would sort of say, okay, we need to cover this area. Then I would come up with, say, 10 pages, and I would post them, and I'd call him, and I'd say, okay, how what do you think? And he would say, completely wrong, missed the point. And I'm like, okay, I'm not proud. We'll go back. And so there was a lot, many iterations back and forth. And
wow.
We hours on the phone, hours fighting and laughing. It was just such a fun creative process.
And you did storyboard them, initially before you actually drew them. I mean, you worked out storyboards for the scenarios, and we had to go back and forth, and we changed things.
The amazing thing is that this is the sign of a successful comic, has a definite flow. In other words, it flows through the book to the end. And that's a sign of a successful graphic treatment. Now, and I think Tanya's not being a quantum theorist is actually a big positive, because you take on the role of how the audience is going to read this.
Yes, and in the end, I'm not kind of versed in all of the sort of the speak and the academia. So for me, I'm just like, well, let's boil it down. I want to be able to hold it in my hand, and
for me
also this idea of let's come up with something really simple first. I want to have it solid. I want to own this myself, and then
so wait a minute. That's the, is that the super quantum entangler?
Yes, it was.
Pro one.
Yeah, it was, and it was like when you think about it, at the core of all this complexity, at the core of what Einstein said, what Schrodinger said, what Bohr said, at the core behind, like, how do you create an uncrackable, unhackable code or teleport something, there is something really simple, which is the landing of a pair of coins,
right?
So it starts from this first principle idea that, the idea is really, let's hand this to the reader. Like, we're going to give them the gift of entanglement. And then, as you unpack this gift, you realize, it's like, what have you given me?
I'd rather have socks. I'd really rather have socks, because they would do less weirdness to me, to my feet.
Socks you can put in your drawer.
Put this in your drawer, no.
No, you can't.
I got to ask you about the Quasino croupier. Now you make some cute statement in here. His name is Jeffrey Bubb, but then it's not Bubb.
Yes, it was no relation to the
don't be coy, Tanya. you stuck your father in there, didn't you?
I did.
I knew it.
Well, and again, I'm glad you get, the sort of the name totally random, and the style of the graphics is sort of totally random as well. And it was just, again, this kind of rabbit hole idea that you just never know what you're going to run into here. It's just all bets are off, right? So, sure, why not have the author as the casino croupier? Why not, right?
I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. And it looks like
it. Yeah, and I enjoyed being the croupier, too.
I know.
Especially given that the people gambling were chickens and foxes.
Right. That was really an homage to surrealist art, I thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Stuart Bell, and I'm fascinated by this because it was, as described in your book, is the most important never seen character in the book. Why is he never seen?
Well, in a way, this was started about how the comic originally was going to be, and the idea, there were several iterations of this that were radically different from how it ended up. The idea was sort of, originally we didn't really want any graphics. We just wanted to use the sort of sequential aspect of comicness to take people methodically through this line of reasoning. So the idea was like, let's put people in a dark room. And, we didn't, that was really it. It was like, I'm going to turn off all the lights here because we don't want any distractions. It's like, I want you to think about.
Oh my God, that would have been totally even weirder.
Well, it started like that, actually. It was just, and I thought, we're just going to have a series of black squares. And let the person, and the hand, so you're in there in this dark room with these coins, right? That was sort of the idea. But it was almost it was sort of too extreme. Like, we needed a bit more. But for John Bell, what's John Bell, fascinating guy, right? Like,
you
read about the biography of Bell is fascinating, all that stuff. But this is really about this idea.
Of entanglement.
And so it's not about him, it's about this idea. And that's why he's really never seen, because it's not, you know, you'd need another book, and they're fantastic books about Bell. This was really the simplest, you know, boiling down the concepts behind it into what we felt were the simplest form so that it could be understood in terms of these coins that you're holding in your hands.
Yeah, also I think that the reason the book is successful is that we didn't try and write a comic on quantum mechanics, which would obviously have involved talking about all sorts of stuff that led to quantum mechanics and, you know, the specific aspects about quantum mechanics. Rather, we focused on, and that's what the subtitle says, is what's weird about quantum mechanics, which is sort of a different issue. So we could talk about what people find puzzling about quantum mechanics and get that across to the reader, but we're not really talking, we're not really teaching the reader quantum mechanics. We have something very specific in mind. What's so puzzling about the theory that leads to physicists like Feynman, who got a Nobel Prize for his contribution to quantum mechanics, to say nobody understands quantum mechanics? That's what's really so fascinating. And I think someone, a layperson who doesn't, you know, much physics at all, if such a person is interested in quantum mechanics and interested in reading a bit about it, that's probably the first thing that they want to understand. Why do people say it's impossible to understand? What's so weird about this theory? As opposed to, you know, really, you know, picking up on the theory so that they can actually use it. That's not what they want. They really want to understand, why is the theory so weird? What is it about the theory that's so weird? And that's what that's what we deal with.
We're completely out of time, and obviously we could talk about aspects of this book forever, literally, and in many universes.
Exactly.
True.
And I want to mention, for the benefit of the audience, they end with the teleportation of Spock's soul, which I thought just really went, that was before you really go down the rabbit hole. This is an amazing book. My guests tonight have been Tanya Bubb, founder of the 48th Avenue Productions, a web development company, Jeffrey Bubb, distinguished university professor in the Department of Philosophy and the Institute for Physical Science and Technology at the University of Maryland. It's father and daughter, I should mention. And we are talking about their new book. It is an amazing read. It really is. And it'll give you a true feeling, a sensibility about the problems of quantum theory. Totally random. Why nobody understands quantum mechanics. Jeffrey and Tanya, it's been a real pleasure.
It's been so fun. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night. Hold on.